Hey yo man, it's your time. And fuck poverty. Get this money, man. The fuck you gotta do, you know what I'm saying?
What's up everybody? Welcome to the Phil and Leroy the Judgmental Podcast. I'm Leroy. No Philip again this week. So let's get into it. We going to Houston, Texas. This is a weird story here. We have 25-year-old Rudy Ferris, whose mother announced he was found alive 8 years after he was reported missing as a teen in 2015 when he was 17. The neighbors and police were surprised because he wasn't missing at all. So he was reported missing, and all the neighbors and stuff saw him around the neighborhood and everything and playing with, you know, the kids and stuff, you know, when he was coming up. Playing with the kids and everything, or where they've been teenagers. Playing with the teenagers, and they just found out that he was missing, and he was just found. Here's the report.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Collins. Welcome to the First 15. Tonight, we're continuing to hear more from Rudy Farias, the 25-year-old Houston man who was reported missing for 8 years, but really wasn't actually missing. So here's how we got to this point. Rudy's mother, Janie, reported him missing on March 7th, 2015, but Houston police say that Rudy returned home the next day. Neighbors have said that they've seen him at his mother's home, but she claimed he was her nephew instead and insisted that he was still missing. Investigators say that they made contact with Rudy and his mother over the years, but they would always give police fake names and birth dates. Rudy was found last month outside of a church in Southeast Houston. His mother has not been charged with a criminal offense for claims that she abused Rudy. Fox 26's Matt.
Well, she filed a false report. Why not charge her for that also?
Matthew Seedorf meeting with the man today. Matthew, how's he holding up?
Well, Caroline, that's a tough question. I'd say he's doing better and recovering mentally, but he was willing to meet with us today on camera if we blurred his face. So we talked with him for about an hour.
Young Rudy had his missing photo posted on all the TV shows and all that stuff when he was found alive. So his young photo back then in 2015 is shown, but now he wants his face blurted out.
We're surprised by some of the things he said. For the first time ever on camera.
Hello. Hello, I'm Matthew.
Rudy Farias, in his own words, describes the 8 years he spent living hidden as a missing person, a case that has captivated the country.
The world thought you were missing for 8 years. Where were you? Where have you been?
Just at home. Just stuck at home, you know. If somebody would come over, my mom would just tell me, stay in the room, you know. Keep the door locked. Don't let him in. Don't make any sounds.
In March 2015, Rudy's mother reported the then 17-year-old missing.
Did you feel like people were looking for him?
The audio, I don't know why they didn't have him mic'd up. When he asked him a question, I don't know if you can hear it here on here, but he asked him a question. Did he think that people were trying to look for him? And he said, not really. I really didn't. Poor mic job for this news channel.
I really didn't feel like the world just gave up on me.
Until this month, Rudy lived in secret with his mom, not telling anyone he was alive and home for 8 years, even when family would visit their house.
Every time they'd come over, what would you have to do?
To hide. I would just have to listen to my family be happy and cheerful on the other side of a door.
For some reason, I don't believe that. So your cousins came over and everything, and your mom told you to hide, and you didn't, in any way, you didn't think this was strange. I don't know if he have any mental disabilities or anything like that, but the neighbors didn't say anything that something was wrong with the man. But I don't know who would sit up there. Your cousins is outside, and your aunts and everything. They coming over your house and you hiding in the room. That doesn't make any sense.
We were outside a Houston hotel last week as Rudy met with investigators and local activist Quanell X.
He said she would make me sleep in the bed with her, and I did not want to sleep in the bed with her. He said, and she told me that I had to be her husband now.
Based on Rudy's interview, there were no reports of sexual abuse reported.
Police and Quanell sharing conflicting messages about their meeting with Rudy and allegations of sexual abuse involving his mother.
He did mention that your mom wanted you to play the role of husband in the house.
Yeah, pretty much. It basically felt like that. Like, you know, make sure to cook. Never said anything bad about her in that regard, but, you know, just boundaries she would push or make me uncomfortable when I would say stop. And she'd be like, well, why? Why?
He doesn't just...
Okay, so Quanell X said that he was being sexually abused, and a Houston police investigator said he wasn't being sexually abused. And so the way he just explained it, it kind of seems like the mom just wanted him to do the husband duties in the house. He didn't say anything about having sex with his mom. So where will Quanell get this from? And why there's conflicting reports when they was in the hotel? They both was in the hotel together being investigating a young man. So where would Quanell get this from? And the Houston Police Department has a different story. And the way he just told the story, he ain't say, yeah, me and my mom had sex. So something, that's why I said this is a weird story here and something isn't right.
Serve this. He doesn't deserve any of this.
Oddly enough, Fox 26 first met Rudy's family 3 years before Rudy would be reported missing.
All I could think was I can't lose another son. He's all I've got left.
In this 2012 news story, Rudy's mother told our former reporter their house was being foreclosed, Rudy was hospitalized after blacking out at home, and he had cancer.
I had a tumor on my heel at one point, but that was irrelevant. She wanted to fake me going to the hospital, and she pretty much just forced me to go in the ER and be like, hey, you know, act like you're sick and you're overdosing and
also in the news report.
Okay, so first, he's supposed to have, he had a little tumor on his ankle, and that was okay. I guess they got it out, but she wanted him to go. First, it was that he had cancer, like, all over, like, he was, like, on his deathbed or something. Now, was he overdosed, going there and act like he overdosed on drugs? Doesn't add up.
This letter, Rudy's mother claimed, was written by him from a hospital bed, urging the bank to not foreclose their home.
Seeing this letter. Did you write this letter?
No, I didn't. I didn't write it at all. I don't know where it came from.
Rudy now staying with a family friend apart from his mother.
It's like I lived in prison. It's like I lived in a jail my whole life. I just wanted to be free.
Houston police continue.
But he was out in the neighborhood and had friends and all that stuff. So what prison was he in? It's kind of sound like him and the mom. I don't know his mental, if he have any type of mental difficulties. If he doesn't, it kind of seems like him and his mom was in cahoots for something, trying to get some money somewhere. I don't know.
Continuing their investigation, but so far...
Because the neighbor said, yeah, he was up and down the street playing around and hanging out with his friends and all that stuff. They didn't see how in the world was he missing when he was on the block.
Or no charges or arrest have been made in this case.
It was just like a constant brainwashing, like the Stockholm type of syndrome where it's just, you know, you just fall in love with your captive and just want to take care of them.
Rudy says today he met with police and answered some of their questions. I have reached out to his mom for comment, and so far tonight I haven't heard back. Live in the studio, Matthew Seedorf, Fox 26 News.
Wow, Matthew.
Yeah, that's a weird story there. Something isn't right there. Is something going on between the mom and the son, or they doing something together. I don't know, trying to get a check or something. I'm not sure. The stories doesn't add up. like I said, first Quanell said that he was being sexually abused. Then the Houston police said that he wasn't being abused, and they both was and they was both interviewing him in a hotel. Excuse me, I don't know if they were together or separate, or he was in the room when the cops was interviewing him. I don't know. But then he says that his mom, like, made him do, like, husband duties, like, cook and clean. She just wanted him to go outside and cut that fucking grass. So, I don't know if that's abuse, sexual abuse or not. All right, so we go on to Fulton County, Georgia, where Mayor Khaled Kamaru faces burglary and trespassing charges after a homeowner called police when he found the electric official in the lake house. Here's the report.
We want to thank the South Fulton Police and the staff and officers at Rice Street for their courteous and professional.
Now, this is the mayor being outside of the jail talking about, he's thanking the people for their service and everything, and they were kind and nice to him when he was in jail. I don't know if you can hear that on here.
Service throughout the day today.
Out from behind bars, but not out of trouble. We were there as the mayor of South Fulton bailed out of the Fulton County Jail as he faces burglary and trespassing charges. And that is exactly where we begin tonight. As city leaders say, that city leader is in serious trouble. He's apologizing to those he serves. Thanks so much for...
Atlanta people, Georgia people, I'm sorry. How big is South Fulton? Because I'm assuming this is like a small town. Because any type of small town and dealing with politics is always a bunch of bullshit going on. Let us know.
Joining us for Fox 5 News at 10, I'm Eric Perry. Now, the mayor, Khalid Kamau, faces felony burglary and trespassing charges. Fox 5 Rob DiRienzo is live outside the Fulton County Jail. All right, Rob, we got him not only leaving the jail, but we were the only cameras there that got him in handcuffs being put in a patrol car.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Eric. Well, the mayor apologized to Fox 5's Deidre Dukes for bringing negative attention to the city of South Fulton. I want to give you a listen to that exchange in just a moment, but a little while ago, he bonded out of the Fulton County Jail. Embattled South Fulton Mayor Khalid Kamau seen leaving the Fulton County Jail Saturday evening after posting an $11,000 bond. He told reporters he was thankful for how South Fulton police and jail guards treated him. Earlier in the day, he was arrested on charges that he trespassed on this property on Cascade Palmetto Highway and committed first-degree burglary, which is a felony. Fox 5 was the only one with cameras rolling while he was still in handcuffs.
Mayor, why were you on that property?
I just wanted to see the house. I do apologize to the owners. I thought it was abandoned.
Sources say that the property owner held Kamau at gunpoint.
Well, from the looks of the house, it does look like it's abandoned. But couldn't he find out as a mayor, couldn't he find out who was in the house or not? I don't know.
Until cops arrived, but police have yet to confirm that. In his mugshot at the jail, he smiled big. But minutes earlier, outside the South Fulton PD precinct, he told Fox 5's Deidre Dukes he's sorry.
I apologize for the negative attention this has brought to our city.
His arrest is just the latest in a string of bizarre incidents in South Fulton since he took office last year. This past April, police shut down an Easter egg hunt he organized because he didn't have a permit. In March...
That's not a big deal. He didn't have a permit for Easter egg hunt. He should have got a permit. Okay, I'm not saying he was in the right. He should have got a permit for this. But why would you bring this up on a report like this? That doesn't sound make any sense.
City council members filed a lawsuit demanding his removal from office, saying he violated the city charter. In July of last year, he sued members of council, alleging they violated the Open Records Act.
I hope that the spotlight that is on our city right now will highlight some of the inequities that have been happening.
So you're guilty of the charges?
I think that's for the voters to decide.
And Eric, as you can imagine, there's a lot of lingering questions here tonight, including about that felony burglary charge. We're not clear on what he's accused of stealing. It also isn't.
Now, the burglary charge, now federal, I don't know what that mean in terms of a federal crime. Does that mean he actually stole something or he just tried to, open a window and try to go through it that way? I don't know what the difference is.
clear what these charges mean for his mayoral seat. Of course, this is something we're going to stay on top of in the days to come. For now, that's the latest from here. Live outside of Fulton County Jail, Rob DiRienzo, Fox 5 News.
Yes, so many questions, and I'm sure the people he serves has a lot of questions as well. Thanks so much.
And our favorite Fulton County Jail is in the news. It's almost like every podcast is something going on with the Fulton County Jail. So, well, the residents of South Fulton, they're on his side, and they say he's not at fault. It's the council people is to blame. Here's the report on this.
Well, supporters of the South Fulton County mayor gathered today for a strategy session to save their city. They say they disagree with calls for the embattled mayor to resign following his weekend arrest on burglary and trespassing charges. Fox 5's Angelique Proctor joins us from the city of South Fulton tonight with the group's plan of action. Angelique.
Good afternoon, Christine. The mayor's supporters say that their goal is to inform the people of South Fulton about what is really happening in their city. And in an interesting twist, they say the city council is the problem, not the mayor.
Trying to work with people that don't share our values and don't care about people.
This small but passionate group of supporters for South Fulton Mayor Khalid Camus say his weekend burglary arrest should never have happened. They believe the city council members, not the mayor, are the real problem.
They run over us. There's no respect. There's no transparency. There is no integrity. So it's now time for us to step to the plate. We got to take our city back because it's all about money and power. Nobody cares about us.
Small town politics, that's what's up.
Rosie Jackson, who is a former South Fulton Council member herself, says this movement is not about the mayor, but rather the city.
If you're going to ask one person to resign, then you have other sitting council members that have done the same thing. You have one person that broke in a house that she was living in. She was evicted. She broke back into that house and stayed.
Look at her putting somebody on blast. That person don't have nothing to do with with this new mayor breaking into somebody's house. That's funny. This is small town politics.
Reached out to District 7 Councilwoman Linda Pritchett, who says her burglary arrest in 2020 was totally different and was dropped by then District Attorney Paul Howard.
At the time, I had a pending lawsuit, and at the time I was a candidate. I was not an elected official. And since that time, those charges have been dropped.
Miss Pritchett gotta explain this. Like, she don't have anything to do with what's going on with this mayor. And that lady had just went on the news and just told her business.
Fulton residents say something needs to be done. There is even talk of getting Governor Brian Kemp involved.
If we have to go to the court, the steps of the Capitol, that's where we're going, because our city needs help. Everybody on that council needs to take a stand back.
Well, maybe it's editing on the news. But okay, she put Miss Pritchard's business on blast, and she's saying that she wants to go to the governor to talk about what's going on in South Fulton. But she's not saying what the problems. What's the problems going on there? Maybe she did, and the news edited out. But what's going on there? All we know is Miss Pritchard also has a burglary charge.
Now, the group right now says their goal is to get their numbers up. They say they will continue spreading their message through these small meetings. We are live in the city of South Fulton. Angelique Proctor, Fox 5 News.
Right, Angelique.
Oh, man. All right, so we stand in Georgia. We going to DeKalb County, Georgia, where DeKalb County woman said her wig saved her from death after she was struck with two stray bullets as she was about to exit a ride-sharing service. Here's the report.
Well, it's a walking miracle. A woman struck twice in the head by stray bullets. She says her wig is one of the reasons she is still alive to tell her story. DeKalb police say this all unfolded at an apartment complex off Snapfinger Woods Drive. Fox 5's Joy Dukes has this miraculous story tonight.
Yeah, that woman who did not want to share her name tells me it was a day she will never forget. A Lyft ride home from work nearly cost her her life. Well, she credits her driver with saving it.
Anybody out there that doesn't believe in...
Well, damn. She got this beautiful red hair. Red hair on top of her head. Them big, dumb eyelashes. I don't know why a woman does that. It makes you look deranged with these big eyelashes on their face like this. And of course she got the gold grill, but I'm gonna give the gold grill, I'm gonna take a pass on a gold grill because this is Georgia and you know
God, I just want you to know God is real.
This DeKalb County mother of two says it was God that spared her life after she was shot in the head while riding in a Lyft outside her apartment complex on Snapfinger Woods Drive June 10th.
I had to pick up my belongings from the homicide department because nobody counted on me making it.
She tells Fox 5 she was coming home from work, but when her driver pulled up to the front gate, she says she noticed two men in cars arguing and got a really bad feeling.
The next thing you know, we hear gunshots.
The woman shared these photos of the damage stray bullets did to her Lyft driver's car.
Three that hit his car, two hit me. The wig I had on stopped one, and one landed in my head. I have a bullet in my head right now.
She called him her.
Okay, but yet you up doing an interview. And that's another thing, too. Like our boy Rudy, we've seen Rudy's face as a young man, but he blurred out his face now. This woman doesn't want to give her name out, and she's doing an interview with like her face is shown and everything. So like nobody can look and tell that that's Shatina from around the way. Like it's either or. Either you should just said your name or just not do the interview, or you could have done it and not had your face shown, one or the other. But why are you having your face shown but you don't want to give out your name?
Her hero, saying even in the midst of chaos, he risked his life to help render her aid.
He came around the car, even though bullets were still flying, he came and got out of his car. One could have hit him.
Oh, another thing with her, too, it looked like her eyebrows, she shaved her eyebrows off and she drew some new ones on.
And he held my hand and tried to keep me conscious until the ambulance got there and don't know me.
The woman tells Fox 5, miraculously, the bullet didn't make it to her brain. While doctors at Grady were unable to remove it, she knows the ordeal could have ended much differently.
I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for God. And I pray every day. I pray before I left the house that morning, and I prayed when I got home 3 days later.
Well,
all right. Keep praying, ma'am. I'm not laughing at what she said about that part. I'm just laughing at the wig saved her from being killed. And she still have a bullet in her head. Well, before I go, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Hezekiah Grice from the Unwrapped Mind podcast. The Unwrapped Mind podcast, all streaming platforms. He gives us a shout out every episode, at the end of every episode. Yes, Mr. Grice, I still listen to your show, and I hear you giving us a shout-out at the end of every episode. We appreciate you. We appreciate you listening to us, and thank you. Thank you for shouting us out on your platform. So now I'm going to shout you out on our platform, the Unwrapped Mind podcast on all streaming platforms, Mr. Hezekiah Grice. All right, y'all, that's it. You can reach us on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube and Twitter at PNL Judgmentals, Instagram at the_judgmentals, or you can email us at PNLJudgmentals@gmail.com. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Have a good one.
Comments on my photos, that's why I stay on the low. Most of y'all is associates, so I be on my dolo. Hold up, whoa, hold the phone. You think all I do is rap? I can do it on my own. That's why I produce the track. Don't wonder where my crew is at. They'll be back. Niggas see me walking.